Today's guest is a special friend of ours. She's a wife, Army veteran, a homeschooling mom of five, a community leader, and she is the director of civic engagement here at Moms for America. It's Ellie Legg, and I'm so excited that she's joining us today. She is on the front lines of safeguarding liberty. She's empowering mothers, and she is championing parental rights. This is going to be great. Stay with us. Welcome to the Moms for America podcast. Each week, special guests tackle the issues facing the moms of America today. Discussions include personal stories and advice on how moms can build a strong foundation of faith, family, and freedom in their homes and country. Hey, moms, I'm Debbie Kurlitis, your host, and thank you so much for joining us again this week. Super welcome. Absolutely love having you here every week to discuss issues and challenges that are facing our country and our family. So right here at the top of the show, I do want to ask you to like and subscribe and share the podcast. Always need to remind everybody, please do that for us as we are continually getting censored. And this is the only way that we really can get our message out is through moms like you sharing it with your mama friends. Also here at the top of the show, if you are here for the first time, welcome. Welcome to Moms for America. We are moms uniting all across the country. We are fighting for faith, family, freedom, and the Constitution. We are the ultimate support group. We are so glad that you are here. So please join the sisterhood. Check us out at momsforamerica.us. We have such incredible information, resources, webinars, all kinds of information to help you in your journey through motherhood. Again, check us out at momsforamerica.us. Also, if you have an idea, a topic, or feedback, please email me directly at podcast@momsforamerica.net. I love to hear from you, and I always love to get your feedback. Alrighty, on to today's program. Well, my guest today, she is a real dynamo, to say the least. That's why we are so proud and delighted to mention that she is on our national team at Moms for America. Well, Ellie Legg, she lives in Florida, and she has been an unwavering advocate for parental rights while also helping moms make a difference on their school boards and in their community. Ellie has an amazing journey and a great story that is full of inspiration, and I cannot wait for you to meet her. Welcome, Ellie. This is so fun to have you on the podcast. Welcome, my dear friend.
I'm so excited. I'm so excited to be on here with you. I've watched you do this even before I started working with Moms for America. So I'm just really thrilled.
Thank you, Ellie. Well, we, as everybody can tell, we're super friends. Yes. We have such an amazing staff at Moms for America. And Ellie came on a while ago, and she's been a treasure for us. So, Ellie, I'm so glad to kind of introduce you to the podcast world over here. You have quite a following on Twitter. You speak to the culture all the time. You're helping us with school boards and training moms in the field. But I want them to get to know your family a little bit. Would you tell us about your tribe over there? And your kids. I told them you have five. I mean, amazing mama.
Yes, I feel like we have a little village. I call it my circus that I built myself, you know, me and my husband. My husband and I, we've been married for almost, was it 12 years now? Almost 13. My gosh, I can't even believe it. It's been that long. And so we are a bit of a blended family. I have a son from a previous marriage who is 15, and he'll be 16 in April. My goodness, I can't even believe it. Wow, I'm not ready. Who authorized that, right? Yeah. and then he has a son. I call him my bonus baby from his previous marriage, and he is going to be 13 this year. Or was it 14? 13? 14. He'll be 14 this year. I can't even keep their ages straight sometimes.
I know. Or their names when you start get their names mixed up too.
Well, and then we have three little ones together. And they are, it's 10, 8, and 5. So we are just a lovely barrage of children. We're outnumbered. That's what
for sure. I know you're so busy. And I should also mention, too, you're a beautiful biracial family.
Absolutely. We are very multicultural, multiracial. I call us the UN. That's what we look like. We look like the United Nations. So it's quite interesting. Most people don't realize that we are that way. They normally just look at us and see skin tone first. But my husband is Irish and Native American. And myself, I'm African, I'm Spaniard, I'm English, I'm Native, I'm Puerto Rican. It's like all things. We have all things.
All things. That's what we say over here. We're just like mutts. We're just American mutts. We're a little bit of
Yes.
everything. So,
I even mark that on my paperwork when they ask me like what nationality you are. I'm like, I'm American. That's it. I
right.
put it for me and all my kids because that's what we are.
Well, the reason why I want to mention that you're a biracial family, that's going to play a little bit into a little bit of your story as we get into it.
Absolutely.
But I do want to kind of just talk a little bit about the fact, Army, you were in the Army for a while, served our country, so we so appreciate you as a veteran.
Thank
You
you.
bring all this kind of wealth of wisdom because you've got engaged in your community. You were a veteran. You were single. You were married. You had your single mom at one time, remarried, blended family. You said some challenges come into your community. You step up. You spoke to it, and now you're actually homeschooling. So it's been quite a ride for you. How do you like the whole homeschooling? And then we're going to get into your story. But how is homeschooling going?
Homeschooling is a challenge. I never thought that that's something that I would do. I always looked at I thought homeschoolers were just weird people that wore bonnets and cooked in the kitchen all the time and like stuff like that. But I didn't realize how empowering being a homeschool mom is. I have the ability to really instill values and principles into my children that they otherwise wouldn't get in a classroom setting. And we're able to talk about things in a very different way, more geared towards our own family values. And they understand the lessons a little bit better because they have that one-on-one relational equity, I like to call it, between mom and child. And really understanding that we as parents have the most influence in our kids. And I think that it's a bonding experience. And while it is challenging, it is very much worth it.
It is good for you. So I know you help with homeschool mom to mom and all kinds of different things, all things education too, Allie, and activism. So a couple other things I want to check with really quick. And I know we've talked about this in the past, but I mean, now obviously you're a patriot, very conservative, and fighting the good fight here with Moms for America and really in the state of Florida over there in big ways. But were you always conservative?
No, I was not raised in a conservative household. I went from, while my father was in the military, he was Army. We actually had the same job, which is really interesting. We were both part of the Chemical Corps, which is, they used to call it NBC. Now it's ChemCorps. It's chemical, radiological, biological, nuclear warfare. And you kind of just, it's more sciencey based. I'm not even going to go into it. But we had the same job. And while I grew up with him as being my dad, obviously, we did have liberty principles. But as I got older and my parents divorced and we moved from Lawton, Oklahoma, which is a small country town in Oklahoma, then when I was growing up, I was born in Texas. But from then on, we moved to East Orange, New Jersey. And that was a complete culture shock for me. I grew up this country girl, and then I get thrown into the bowels of the inner city. And it was very culturally eye-opening for me. I was bullied. I was made fun of because I didn't look like everybody else. I didn't talk like everybody else. My hair wasn't like everybody else. And so I was immediately immersed into this kind of hostile kind of environment. And I had to figure out how to get out of and overcome adversity. And you do notice that there is a lot of liberal ideology in the smaller inner cities, and they'd like to peddle that, it's all the white people's fault that you are the way you are. And when you try to grow up as a kid, you want to fit in. And so you kind of adopt those and adapt those principles and that ideology. And I didn't really change that way of thinking until 20, I want to say after President Trump was elected. I was so upset he was elected in 2016. My husband and I went through massive arguments, and I'm just like, how could you vote for this man? And he's like, babe, I know you are like, just look at policy, read policy, ignore that it's Trump, just look at policy. He's like, you're a brilliant woman. And he printed it out, all of his policies, and made me sit there and read them. And I did. I read them And I figured out, I was like, you know what? This man really does love our country. And I love our country. I mean, this is what you fought for. This is what I fought for. This is what, you know, my uncles have fought for and my grandfather. And you know, it fit, right? And then I was out petitioning my local government from stripping away parental rights through to the medical establishment. And that's kind of how I got my start. I was watching what was happening in California as they were trying to remove
Right.
medical exemptions from vaccines. And I was watching not a podcast, but a live viewing of a rally that was going on in California in 2017, I believe. And I was listening to the doctors that were speaking, doctors that have built and run hospitals and pediatric clinics, and
Emergency
they were
rooms,
giving
yeah.
so much information. I had the easel paper that we have for our kids. I had it thrown all over my table and I was taking notes like a madwoman. And I went and I did my research. I looked at the CDC, I looked at the NIH, I looked at the HHS, and I found out a lot of what these doctors were saying were not just some random things. They weren't just pulling them out of the sky. It was really true. And then I started putting two and two together and realized that I've had reactions. My husband's had reactions. My kids have had reactions. And then I started, was like, you know what? Well, we can't have this. So I started petitioning my government. And that is kind of where I got my conservatism from, was just realizing that President Trump wasn't mean and evil. He really was trying to help Americans, and his policies were really good. And being that he was a Republican, because I grew up in a Democrat household.
Sure, that was your roots.
Yep.
You know, and I think too, I think once we start getting challenged to think and
yes.
look and
yes.
be educated and dig deeper, everyone kind of starts looking at things differently. And then I think, what would you agree? And I think you do.
I do.
As soon as you see like the first reveal, you're like, where's the second and the third and the fourth? And you understand the overreaching government, medical freedom. This was a big issue for you. So hubby did a good job challenging you to look at policy, right?
Yes.
Instead of personality. Maybe that's some of the, what a lot of people will say, look at policy or personality. And then here's the other thing. You then, not only because of medical freedom, you then had a situation happen at your school. And I want you to talk about this, because this was the beginning, and parents all across the country are dealing with the same situation that you did. And it's just packaged differently in different schools. So tell us what happened there.
So there's a couple of things. In 2020, when the world decided to lose their minds and our governors decided to shut everybody down and tell us who wasn't essential and who was, our schools were closed and our children had to remote learn. Now, I have a child that's on the spectrum and his needs weren't being met during that whole thing. And we were fighting our schools to open the schools because, you know, you're disparaging these children that depend on schools for food, children that depend on schools for services. You can't keep them closed because teachers are afraid to do their job. We had nurses that were afraid to do their job and do their jobs anyway. And so you can't, as consumers, you know, tell us that we cannot utilize the buildings we pay for and the education system that we pay for. So it was really frustrating. But during that remote learning, I don't even want to say homeschooling because that is totally different.
Right.
During the remote learning, I had a was overhearing my son, who at the time I believe was 12 or 13, heard his history teacher say that the Constitution could be suspended under emergency rule, which was completely mind blowing. Like, wait a minute, how did you come to that conclusion with, as a history teacher? It was completely mind blowing. So I called other moms, and it wasn't unique to just my child. It happened across our county. It was happening across the nation. And so what did I do? I gathered all my mamas together. We went down to the school board and petitioned, and we ended up getting our schools opened and removed our mask mandates, removed our vaccine mandates, and had our schools reopened because of the gathering of our other moms that felt the same way. There was another situation where we had a teacher tell my son that he should just kind of not listen or ignore the fact that his stepdad is white because his biological father is black. And if his biological wasn't here, then he wouldn't be here. And that there are extensive situations or circumstances that are keeping him away from his son. And this man has no idea what has gone on in our family. He
of
had
course.
no no idea.
Has no business to be in your family business, right?
No business at all. And it was just really disheartening to hear that a teacher was kind of prying their way into our family and also trying to push his own radical ideas on my child. Now, my child loves his dad and loves my husband. My husband has been a part of his life since he was 3 years old and has instilled so many good values in him. And I don't know where we would be without my husband and his influence in our family. He is a pillar to our family. He's my rock. He's my inspiration. And he does that to all of our children. So to have someone that doesn't know our family implement or say that because he's white, he doesn't have a place to be your father is quite insane. It's so wild. Right. So wild.
Well, we know that they want to divide families. They want to cause division. If they can crack out white against black, oppress against oppressor, all of this we know is their agenda in the school. And it obviously affected you and your family. I have another biracial family that the daughter came home and she said, "Mom, did you know that my teacher told me that you're racist?"
Yeah.
And she's like, "Did you know, Mom, that you're racist?" And she's looking at her like, "What in the world is happening?" I mean, these teachers are overstepping it on every corner. We know this critical race, diversity, equity, inclusion, all of this social emotional learning. These are things that are happening all across America in the public school system, so much that you decided to run for school board. Let's talk about that journey.
I did. I say that they made me put my combat boots back on.
I love
although
that.
Although it's a different fight, it's still a service, right? It's a service.
Sure is. Are you
I say that
me?
Tongue in cheek, seriously. I'm not trying to fight anybody, but I do want to push back on a lot of the ideology that's being pushed in our schools that aren't conducive to student outcomes, student academic outcomes, and all of the things that are being brought in through the federal government and these teachers' unions that claim that they care about our students don't produce that kind of outcome, right? Our students across the nation, fourth graders, are 60% illiterate. They can't read. 60% of our fourth graders in the nation are not proficient in reading. And it's even higher in urban demographics. So if you break it down ideologically, not ideologically, but identity-wise, as far as being Black, Hispanic, or white, our Black students are 83% of fourth graders can't read. And when you can't read by the fourth grade, you increase 400% to stay and live in poverty. So while they're touting, we care about our underprivileged students, how much do you really care about them if
you're holding them back, right?
Right, are holding them back and not producing, you know, proficiency in these core curriculum. And so I did. I ran for school board in 22 here in Hillsborough County, Florida. While I did not win, unfortunately, I did learn a lot. And what I've learned is that you have to be very active in your community, regardless of whether or not you run for office. You have to be involved in your schools, be involved in your children's lives, and ask those difficult questions of your school board and those that work in the district level. Build those relationships so that you can make sure that your district is putting your children first and not putting teachers before students and not putting teachers' feelings before student academic achievement. And I earned 80,000 votes in that race. So we did a really great job. I knocked many doors.
Hold on. Can I brag too that Governor DeSantis, right? You were the first.
Yes.
Tell them. You were the first.
I earned the endorsement of a sitting governor, which has never happened in the history of politics to have a sitting governor endorse school board candidates. So I was really honored for that. And I really did appreciate his help when it came to helping out my campaign and getting ready to meet all of the lovely other ladies that were running that were also endorsed by him. It was an incredible time. And I've learned so, so much. And I don't think that, honestly, that wasn't something that I ever wanted to do. I never wanted to be in the forefront. That's not something that I strived for. It's not something I had wanted. But I kept getting this pull, like, if not now, then when, right? Mm-hmm. And if it's not you, then who? As a mom, you know, we are entrusted and endowed with this ability to raise our children. And if we are not the ones who are out front taking the arrows for them, trying to protect them and advocate for them, who else is going to
Right.
do it for us? Nobody.
Right.
It
Right.
has
We
to be
are
us.
right. We're the defenders.
Yes.
Our husbands or the dads are the protectors, and we're the defenders, and we do that the best. No one messes with our kids, right?
That is the worst place to be, is in
Yeah.
between a mama and her children.
That's it. You do not want to mess. Well, I want to just keep talking a little bit about this because I want to talk about school board engagement, some of the things that you're doing, civic engagement, and some of the programs that you're running for us here at Moms for America. You can see why we are delighted to have Allie on our team. Allie, here's the thing I want to talk about. Now, you decided to take your kids home and homeschool, which we advocate for a lot. If your school is teaching DEI, SEL, all of these crazy agendas, take your kids home, homeschool, and put them in a private. Do whatever you've got to do to protect and guide and mentor your children. On the other hand, we do want to impact the schools. We do want to
Yes.
impact the school boards because for whatever reasons, each home may not be able to bring their kids home, and those children do go to school every day. And the thing that we can't forget is that if those children are still being taught by that curriculum and those teachers, so we've got to go and help fight for them, even
Yes.
if we've got our kids at home. You've kind of done both.
Yes.
The importance of engaging with the school board, whether your children, so I want to get it, whether your children are being homeschooled in a private school, whatever, these children go into society. These are the kids that our kids play with. These
Yep.
are the children that, or the students that work at 7-Eleven. These are the kids that are in our community. We can't give up on them.
No, we can't. We can't. I believe it's like 90% of Americans go through our public school system.
Right.
And if 90% of Americans are indoctrinated in believing that everybody around them is racist or oppressive, then what kind of product are we going to inherit or see in 20, 30 years when these children are grown up and they're in the workforce and they're in our communities? And what does that look like? And so for us to kind of put our hands up and say, oh, well, my children aren't in the system, I'm just going to homeschool them and let everybody else worry about their own kids, it's kind of, I mean, it's kind of a cop out, right? Like, why do that?
Yeah.
We need to protect all our kids because they're all,
We do.
while they're not all of our children, like people have said, you know, our children are not global citizens, right? They do belong to parents, but it is important for us as a community to understand that
Yes.
when our children are well educated, they do better.
So let's talk about what we provide and kind of the division that you work with regularly, training. If you get involved in the school, or you want to get involved in the school board, or you want to have information, or you want to be an ambassador, or you maybe don't want to run for school, but you want school board because you, for whatever reason, doesn't work right now, you can still be a representative.
Yes.
You still can be empowered. You can still have all the tools in the toolbox to go and make a case and investigate and challenge. So tell us about some of the things you work with on a monthly basis for Moms for America.
So what I do is we have school district engagement, right? Is it's school district ambassadors is what we call them. We say ambassadors because you have to build relationships with those that work at the district level, because a lot of times they are the gatekeepers to the elected. And if you want to get to the elected, you have to build those relationships with those that work with the elected as well. And so we teach you how to build those relationships effectively so that you can make the change that you need to see within your own communities. And we do that by training you on the proper roles and responsibilities of our school board members, to our superintendent, to the superintendent of schools, and all of the different things that encompass a school district. And that has been so helpful for a lot of moms. They understand what the role of a school board is and how it is in relation to the state and how the state works, and then to the federal government, and how that works. And so we're just providing a lot of necessary information. I believe most parents, most families don't really know how school boards operate, who they are responsible to and for, and how they work
It's
in
true.
tandem with our federal and state legislature. And that's so important to do. We also have a teacher protection project that we're working on, where we try to encourage teachers and support teachers that want to leave their teachers' unions, but also encourage them and support them to speak out about what they're seeing in curriculum, what they're seeing in hiring practices, what they're seeing in their trainings. Are they being trained by the Southern Poverty Law Group, right? Like, are they being trained in DEI? Are they being trained, you know, to tell our children that they can change their gender? These are things that we need to make sure we're keeping an eye on, because like I said, education is freedom. And if you educate the child, so goes the soul of a nation. And we are not on the right trajectory for having children that can think for themselves, that can problem solve, and that can be successful in life after school. So we need to make sure that we are all involved in those processes, whether you want to be active and actively petitioning, or if you want to just make phone calls or emails, or even just understand what that process looks like. And once you understand what that process looks like, 9 times out of 10, you're going to want to jump in and start making phone calls and meeting with people, because you understand the importance of it. And so that's what I do with you guys. And I love it. I love it.
Oh, we love it too. I mean, moms are coming to us, and you talk to moms all across the country.
All
you
the
travel
time.
For us on a regular basis. You speak all across the country about education, about empowering moms, about our civic duties, about the responsibilities that we have to our community and to our country. I think what's so great about Moms for America, and I know we're kind of tapping our own horns here a little bit, but we provide a lot of resources for moms. Education, huge, huge concern for moms, right? And a lot of moms have woken up. A lot of moms are at their school board meetings. A lot of moms are demanding answers and accountability to parents. They do not want to send their kids to an indoctrination camp. They want the schools just to teach
the core
curriculum. And
that's
so
it.
What are you hearing from moms across the country on a regular basis about their school district and maybe some of the differences that they're making because of the support we're giving them?
So I'll talk about some of the issues first, and then we'll talk about the solutions. I'm very solutionary oriented. I don't like hashing out problems all the time, because we talk about problems all the time. But if you're not trying to figure out what the solution is, then you're just talking.
Exactly.
And I like action. I'm very action oriented. So a lot of the issues that I've heard over the last several years is that, you know, they go and they speak to these school board meetings, or they go to their city council, or they go to their board of county commissioners, or they go to their legislators, and they give public comment, and nothing happens after the public comment. Nobody reaches out to them. They send emails, nobody's answering. And so what I like to encourage our parents to do, our moms to do, is to build those relationships. You have to, in order for you to be politically respected, right, you kind of have to be a little, and I say this not in a bad way, but you have to be politically feared. And to be politically feared, it just means that you're able to touch them a little bit. You're able to be in their face and put a face to a name, and put a name to what is really going on in your community. You want to build those relationships. You want to be recognized as somebody that is trying to help them understand where you're coming from. And you do by getting curious. And that's how you build relationships. You have to have relational equity in order to be to push positive legislation through.
I like that. You got to have equity in this. You're right.
Yes. You got to have some skin in the game. And you have to. If not, then they're kind of just going to, if you go in there and you're all pitchfork and you're screaming at them and you're telling them you're violating my rights, like, but you're not offering a solution, then what are they supposed to do with that? They kind of throw you off and they're like, oh, well, she's just a crazy mom. But we have ways with our webinars and with our education that we give to our parents and to our moms on how to effectively make change that way by building relationships. And relationships, I feel like since 2020, we've kind of gotten away from. And being able to tell your story, tell them, get to know them, have them get to know you. Tell them why this legislation is important. We also have a lot of families and parents that are pushing for parental rights in education, or parental rights bills through their state. And most times I've noticed that, and I did this in North Carolina recently, and at Education Matters, it was like an event that we did for 2 days. And they talked about their parental rights bill that was pushed forward. I dissected the bill and found that there were a lot of loopholes still left in it. And so this is part of the process. Yes, it is important to get those people in office that you care about that say that they're going to do the things, you know, protecting your rights and protecting your kids. But if you're not there along the way, supporting them, reading the bills that they bring forward, going to give public comment in support of those bills and give your understanding and trying to figure out where those loopholes are and figure out how to close those loopholes, then the law is toothless. There's nothing in it to hold anybody accountable for. And then you're sitting there and you're like, oh, we have a parental rights bill. But then you go and your school board is still violating it. And what are they supposed to do if there's nothing in the law to keep them accountable? Right. So this is a part of the process. We want you to follow the whole process and be involved all the way through, because that is how you make the difference.
I dare to I dare to say that any moms that are listening that would want to get engaged, want to get more information, do we have them email you? Do we have them go to the website? So here we've got a mom that's probably saying, listen, I'm concerned about some issues at my school. I may want to run for school board. I may want to go talk at the school board. I may want to FOIA. I may want to, you know, I may want to work on legislation. I may want to work on a ballot initiative. How do they do that with Moms for America? Because we want to help them.
Yes, of course. You can always email me at Allie@momsforamerica.us. I'm .net, sorry. MomsForAmerica.net is my email. And I always give my phone number out like it's candy. I've done it since I ran for office. It's 813-699-0695. And this way you can have a full-blown conversation with me. Tell me what you're witnessing, what your issues are, how we can figure out a solution. I love having those conversations with our mamas and our parents, because it is so important when you get someone on the phone to just hear you out. It makes all the difference.
Yeah. And we do this on a regular basis. Let's talk about some of, thank you for sharing your phone number and email. But again, mamas, go to momsforamerica.us. All of this information is there. You will find all of these resources there. Let's talk about like some of the webinars, some of the monthly meetings that you go ahead and do with the moms that are interested in school board.
So we have lots of webinars, actually. There's some of them that are up on our website already, where we do with Kelly Coles, who is in charge of, and she does National School Board Leadership Council, where she educates school board members on how to be effective at their job and do their job well.
Right.
So
once
that they
you're
properly
elected,
represent their students.
Right. Once they're elected,
once
Kelly
they're
helps.
Elected, yes.
Yes.
Kelly does help. But if you do want to just know what that process looks like, we have webinars for that. And if you want to know more about your school board and what those issues are that are affecting your schools, we have webinars for those. I believe we have one that's coming up, or we just had one that we did with Kelly talking about Title IX and what those changes look like, and how it affects your school board and how it affects our students, and how it actually can help protect students against sexual harassment, which is essentially what's going on in our schools when we have boys and girls bathrooms and vice versa, which is important. We can't have that. We have to protect our girls and our boys, right? And our teachers. All of these things are important.
We need safe spaces.
We do have those regularly. So visit MomsForAmerica.us, sign up for our newsletter, sign up to be to get an email if you want are interested in any of these things. Fill out our inquiry form.
Yes.
You can click school board issues or council issues or legislation, and we'll be able to assist you with all of those needs.
Yeah, we really do. And I tell this to everybody, we are the ultimate support group. Anything that touches your home, here at Moms for America, we've got it for you. How about some closing words of advice to moms that maybe feel discouraged, or feel like the fight's just getting too rough, or maybe are just a little downcast? It's a scary world. We know that. There's a lot of challenges being a parent right now, but you know, God is on our side. And we are in the greatest country to raise our family, or, you know, to raise our kids. So what would you say, Allie? You're so always so upbeat and so encouraging. Share a few of those words with our moms before you leave.
I definitely understand the feeling that it's overwhelming, right? It is. When you look at it, it is a big world, and there are a lot of issues. However, it is so important for you to step out on faith, because you know where your help comes from and you know where your liberty comes from. And mamas, we were definitely born for such a time as this, or we wouldn't be here in this time, right? And it is so important for us to make sure that we're protecting our kids. If not now, then when? If not you, then who? when your children look at you and they ask you in 20 years, Mom, where were you when liberty hung in the balance? What are you going to say to them? Are you going to say, I fought to my last breath and I did everything I could? Or are you going to say that you submitted? What's the story that your children are going to tell their children about your sacrifice and what you did for them in this time? It is important for you to just step out on faith, have courage, and fight for your kids because they're yours. They don't belong to the state. They belong to you. You got
Amen,
this.
Amen, sister. And again, when we talk about situations like this, the challenges that are ahead of us, we have so much great information to help encourage you moms in your journey through motherhood, because we
and
know
we're
it
here
can
to
be tough.
Support you. So you're not doing this
Absolutely.
Alone. You have an enormous amount of support.
Yeah, we are all across the country. Our network is about 500,000 moms. I mean, we are coast to coast, and our team is just like Allie. We're here to help moms and provide all this great information for them to stay in the battle and to be educated on what's happening. And we didn't get a chance to talk about, you know, some of these things, social emotional learning and critical race. I mean, we've been talking a lot about these, and those, we should mention that, Allie, those brochures and those booklets,
yes.
Gender confusion, all these booklets are, let's end with that. Tell the moms about our booklets that we have.
So we have several different resources. If you want to know more about what gender ideology is, if you want to know more about what social emotional learning is and how to identify it in your schools,
yeah.
if you want to know what diversity, equity, and inclusion is and what comprehensive sex education is and how it's affecting your children, we have those resources for you. And I believe we have them in two languages. We have them obviously in English,
yes,
and we're working on
we
getting
just
most
did
of them
that.
done in Spanish.
Yes.
And we're working on different languages as well so that all of our moms across the nation can utilize our resources to inform themselves, right? Because an empowered and an educated populace is empowered to action. And that's what we strive for our mamas to do, is to be
Yep.
empowered, educated, empowered to act, for sure.
I love it, Allie.
Thank
So
you.
glad to have you on the podcast, and thank you for your inspirational words and your story. I love sharing everyone's stories, because stories ignite, they inspire, and they kind of just let everybody know, hey, if Allie can do it, if Debbie can do it, if Kimberly can do it, I can do it. And that's
I
what
can
we
do
want to
it.
do.
Yes, absolutely.
All right. Thanks for joining us, my friend.
You're welcome. Bye, guys. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Allie. What a great interview with Allie. You can see why we love her so much. Thank you, Allie, for all your devotion and your passion for America and our families. We love you, babe. Also, right here, I do want to mention to everyone, you can come and see some of Allie's videos. You can be a part of her training, be a part of Moms for America. Again, all you do is you go to Moms for America, fill out those forms if you have any questions about school board, any kind of engagement, our webinars, any information, our newsletter, momsforamerica.us. Please sign up for that newsletter so we can connect with you. Also, when you're there, Allie talked a lot about the different programs that we have. I always mention our cottage meetings. Love these. It is 12 lessons. It's our signature program. It's 12 lessons that will inspire and educate you about America's amazing heritage so that you can share those principles of liberty in your home and in your community. This program, along with all of our other programs and resources on our website, will really help you impact your family in a very powerful way. We say this every week. It's parental rights to public policy. It's from the kitchen table to the school board room. We are here to help you, and Moms America is your support group. So check us out. All right, moms, we say this every week. We believe that liberty begins at home. We talked about that so much, so important. It all happens in the home. You are the heartbeat of America. You are the heartbeat of your home. That's why moms are so powerful. They are the nurturers. They are the teachers. They are the mamas. So that's how we save our country. That's how we save our schools, our family, and our communities. Next week, we're going to have another inspiring, informative discussion for moms just like you. And I always want to remind and ask you to share these podcasts with moms in your circles. All right, moms, let's keep changing our world one home at a time. And I will see you next week. God bless.